The first reading is written in 1 John, chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. It is to be found on page 1227 in the Church Bible. 1 John, chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And the second reading is written in John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, to be found on page 1082 in the Church Bible. So John chapter 13, beginning at verse 34. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks so much, Richard. As you know, we're in the middle of this, we are now in the middle of this little three-part series that I'm kicking off with you. Last week we looked at We're All About Jesus. This week we're looking at Love One Another as a Church. And then next week we're on to sort of how we serve him. That's the sort of trajectory that we're going. It may or may not be a surprise to you that on average, each person spends 2.5 hours on social media every day. Now I say that and I've lost you already, because you're all trying to work out, am I above average or am I below average? Actually, let me say that the average has gone up by about an hour in just over a decade. So it was just over 10 years ago. Now it's 2.5 hours that we're spending on social media every day. And yet, chronic loneliness is on the rise. A survey said that half of Brits say that they feel lonely. We long, don't we, for meaningful relationships. We want to be part of a thriving community. We want to be loved. But when we read passages like those that we just read, saying, let us love one another, how do you respond? Let me say first that we have felt so loved since we arrived here in Wallington. In fact, ever since the summer, there was the thoughtful email telling us of the delights of the area to explore. There was being invited to stay and eat dinner when we came to see the area. I think there's a photo of that, yeah. There was all the work that went into looking after the house and getting ready for our arrival, the unbelievably generous gifts on our arrival to help us settle in. There was even a Christmas tree that you put up in the house. There it is, with the gifts. And then there was, of course, the flat pack team to end all flat pack teams. There they are. Look at that wonderful group of people and my parents. You got there. I love them very much, obviously. But seriously, and the warmth that we've felt since we've been with so many of you, helping us to settle in all sorts of different ways and praying for us and in our conversations too. We praise God for your love. We really do. That is a good news story. But it doesn't always go like that, does it? Maybe you hear, let us love one another, and it hurts because you haven't felt loved. You feel let down by friends or family or even church. Loving others, actually, it can make us vulnerable, can't it? We open ourselves up to getting hurt because it's the people we love most who can hurt us the most. Or we become vulnerable to grief if we lose them. As our late queen famously said, grief is the price we pay for love. So maybe we think it's a bit safer to keep our distance, to hold back. Or let's be honest, we hear let us love one another and we think, hey, people aren't always that easy to love. People are complicated. And actually, we're complicated too. If someone's hurting, we're scared of putting our foot in it, saying the wrong thing. I did that with one of you the other day, and I was thinking, Osborne, what have you done? What are you doing? You were very gracious to me. Or we hear, let us love one another, and it's just a bit of an overwhelming command that leaves us with all sorts of questions. Well, who do I love? I can't love everyone. How am I to make that decision? How do I love? There's only so much time in the day, and I've got all sorts of other things to be getting up to. And then we can feel guilty because there's always more we could do. Oh, love sounds lovely. But actually, it could be a recipe for disaster. And sadly, it does go wrong, even in church life. I was speaking to a friend, not here, and they were saying that they'd felt that they had to move to a new church because they said that in their old church, there wasn't any love there. And it broke my heart. And in a week where even more allegations of abuse in the wider church have come to light and a failure to deal with them appropriately, the church seems to be known not as a place of love, but a place of harm. And it breaks my heart. Because Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That the mark of a healthy church is its love for one another. It matters. And my prayer this week has been that as we look at our passages this morning, we would see how God's love for us inspires and equips us to love one another. There's no shortcut to Christian love. You know, the exasperated parent can say to their warring children, just be nice. love one another, get on with each other. But the parent of the warring children also know that that doesn't work. It's not as simple as that. That's why John, why God wrote this, and why he didn't stop in his letter halfway through that first verse, although it would have made for a shorter sermon. Dear friends, let us love one another. He doesn't stop there. He goes on. Dear friends, and actually more literally, it's beloved. So it's quite fun. So it's beloved, let us love one another. For love comes from God. God is the source, the origin of love. Being connected to him is then what sets us free to love one another. A lamp can't light a room until it's plugged into the wall. And if we're going to love each other with a love that Jesus says is the marker of a healthy church, then we need to be plugged into God and his love. Because he is love. He doesn't just do love, he is it. He is pure love in his inmost being, to his very core. Everything he does is in love. He creates in love. He sustains in love. He rules in love. He judges in love. He saves in love. He restores in love. And so verse 7, when we're born of him, when we know him, we begin to love like him in everything we do. As I grow older, I see, for better or worse, how I resemble my parents. You might have got a snap of it. Obviously, I got their very dashing good looks. But I also got some of the not-so-great stuff, too. That's just how it is. But if we're Christians and we're adopted into God's family, we begin to share in his family likeness. And that is only a good thing. Because he is love to his very core. Everything in him is love. When we love one another, we are sharing in the family likeness of our Father in heaven. Our love for each other is the evidence that we know that we're connected to, that we're born of the God of love. That's why a lack of love in a church is so devastating. Because verse 8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So, love one another because God is love. Now, during the vacancy process, once I'd been offered the role, I was speaking to Sue, one of our wonderful wardens here, about it. And I slightly indulgently asked, why did the panel want to offer it the role to me? Now, obviously, I'm sure she had a list as long as her arm of reasons she could have said, but she gave me just the one, but it's a good one. She said, because we felt like you love us already. Now, that was a really significant moment for me. Now, of course, in many ways, there's no way that Sue or any of the panel could really know that for sure. And let me say, I want to love you, and I guess the proof will be in the pudding. But that is my goal, and I pray that the Lord is growing, and I think he is growing a love in me for you. But what was special to me about that moment was what it communicated. You wanted a minister who loves you. That is a good and healthy thing to want in a minister. Because a church that values love for one another is the sort of church Jesus had in mind. It's the sort of church I want to be part of. I take it it's the sort of church we all want to be part of. Not just because it's a nice place to be, though I trust it is, but because of the reason that it's like that. That it knows the God who is love. You are bearing God's family likeness of love. Love one another because God is love. But I think we can go deeper than that, because God's love doesn't just sort of tell us to love with a waggy finger. It shows us what love is like. Verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God showed us his love by sending Jesus for us. We didn't deserve it. He initiated it. And that's different, isn't it? Because normally we love the lovely. But our sin, that is our heart and actions that are set against God, mean that as beautiful as you all look this fine morning, we are not in and of ourselves lovely. And yet the wonder of the gospel is that in his love, he sent his one and only Son as a sacrifice for the unlovely. Jesus at the cross took the bullet that we deserved for our sin. Jesus at the cross paid the price of the punishment we owed. And that means that however unlovely you feel you are not beyond the reach of God's love. Whatever debt before God you know you have, it is a price God himself is willing to pay if you'll let him. Whoever we are, whatever we've done, whatever baggage we carry, God offers to all his entirely undeserved, extraordinarily costly love. If you don't know that for yourself yet, but you'd like to, please do come and speak to me or Tony or someone else who looks friendly around the place. But even that's not the end of the story, because God's love for us inspires our love for one another. We want to love one another like God loves us. Love one another like God loves you. So when we know God's entirely undeserved love for us, we want to love others with a love that is entirely undeserved on their part. So because God loved us while we were still sinners, we don't just love people who look sorted on the outside. Which is a good thing, because actually we've all got our issues and struggles inside. All of us. And we don't just love people like us, or people we like, because God's love breaks through those divisions. Ages, stages, nationalities, races, jobs, incomes, backgrounds, personality types, and an endless list. And we know the extraordinary cost of God's love for us. So we want to love people even when it's extraordinarily costly. Time, energy, money, emotional capacity, whatever it is. Look at the love that God showed us. That inspires a costly love towards others. Now, I don't say that to intimidate us. I know you're already doing this, because that's how you loved us. You didn't even know us, and you were so generous towards us. It was a wonderful picture of the gospel. You loved us like God loves you. And I've heard already so many stories of people caring for each other beautifully through extraordinarily hard times. So let's keep going. Let's love one another like God loves you. Let me give you an A to Z. Just imagine with me that you're the fly on the wall looking to see what this looks like in our church family. So when the service finishes, you see Alice turn to Barney, sitting next to her, start to share that her car has broken down and she isn't going to be able to visit her friend in hospital. So Barney listens and offers to pray with her. And after that, Barney doesn't have a car, but he introduces Alice to Charlize. Charlize doesn't even know Alice and did have some paperwork to do later that day, but she could maybe move that to Monday, Monday evening, so she offers to take Alice first thing in the morning to the hospital. She might not have thought it specifically at the time, but she spent a lot of time delighting in what Jesus had done for her. And so it was sort of natural for Alice to want to do that. And then, you're the fly on the wall. You look behind them and there's Deborah. Deborah is sat behind them. She's so ashamed. She's done something at work that she's terrified of people finding out about. She's been on the edge of tears all the way through the service. And she gets up to, and as she gets up to leave straight away at the end of the service, she bumps into Evelyn and Frank. And Evelyn gives Deborah a hug. And she starts sobbing into Evelyn's arms. And Evelyn and Frank, they sort of whisk her away into one of those rooms in the center there to find a quiet spot. And they speak. And they sit in quiet for 10 minutes. And Deborah's terrified what Evelyn and Frank will think of what she did. And in the quiet, you've flown with them. Frank is praying in his heart for wisdom to know how to love Deborah well. And then Evelyn says to Deborah, well, whatever the issue is, we will still love you. God knew what you were like when he sent Jesus to die for you. You don't need to pretend to be something you're not in front of us. So Deborah shares through her tears. And Evelyn and Frank, they have her back for lunch and they hatch a plan for Monday morning. They're going to walk with each other together. Meanwhile, Geraint is listening to Harold and Ivy talk about some stresses in their family life. And he invites them to the drop-in on Tuesday and to talk more about it. And he sends them a message saying that he's been praying for them later that week. There's Juliet. She's from another country and she's finding settling in hard. But Kelly, she's made a real effort to get alongside her and to invite her along to her home group. And Juliet is beginning to feel like she belongs. Lawrence has noticed Matthew. He's come for the first time. And despite being baffled by this whole church thing, he looked like he was up for a chat. And so instead of going to chat to Nick and Oscar, which is what he normally would do, he goes off and says hello to Lawrence, to give him a cup of tea. Paul, he's gone for a walk with Quentin. That was a hard one. To pray about the diagnosis he received last week. Roberta just offered to help Sally with her childcare next week. Terry and Ulrich, they're talking to Vincent about how to share God's love in the office because they've been struggling. They want to do that, but it's hard. Wayne is going to help Xander build his shed. And Yvonne is celebrating with Zach because he's got a new job. Did I get them all? I'm not sure. Each episode may in themselves not seem particularly spectacular, some more than others. But each one is a work of God as he works to grow us in his family likeness. We love others, but of course, it feels intimidating if it's all one way. But of course, if we're in a community of love, we love, but we are also loved like that too. And so isn't that the sort of community we long to be part of? Let me say that the gospel makes it possible. Because knowing we're loved by God means we're not in it for the approval of others. We're not trying to spend our time getting people to like us. We're free from that. We can just love each other like God loved us, unlovely as we are. And actually, we're free to receive the help of others because we don't need to pretend to be something that we're not. We don't need to pretend to be sorted. We can receive that help because we know what we're like, because we know what we're like when Jesus died for us. And here's the thing. When we love like God loves us, Verse 12 says that even though God is invisible and no one has ever seen him, when we love one another, we make him known. He is alive in us. And so the world will look at us and our love, and they will see God and his love. And we pray would know it for themselves too. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I want to praise you for the love that we've experienced from so many people in this room and not here this morning too. Father, we praise you. I want to thank you for that and for them, but also for the work that it means that you have been doing in each of their lives to make them more and more in your likeness. Thank you, Father, for the love that we've seen and the love that we've all experienced from others and what that says about who you are. We pray, Father, for us as a church family here at St. Pat's, that we would indeed be known for our love, because it means that we know your love. Please, Father, would you make your love for us increasingly precious to us, and would that inspire us to love others well and to receive others' love well too. Work in our hearts to grow us in our love for one another, that the world would see us and see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.